Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to this presentation for the SREC-based financing program. During the presentation, all phone lines will be in listen-only mode. At the end of the presentation, we will announce the opportunity for listeners to ask questions. Instructions will be given at that time. This presentation will be recorded, and an archive playback will be made available. The Q&A portion of this conference call will be posted as FAQs on the website but will not be recorded. If you need any assistance during this call, please press star zero and someone will help you. At this time, I will now turn the call over to Benjamin Chee of NERA Economic Consulting.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this bidder information call for the SREC-based financing program for the electric distribution companies, or EDCs, which are Atlantic City Electric Company, or ACE, Jersey Central Power and Light, or JCP&L, and Rockland Electric Company, or RECO. Again, my name is Benjamin Chee, and I have with me here Dr. Chantal Lacasse, who is also with NERA. NERA is the solicitation manager for this SREC-based financing program, and we will be administering the request for proposal or the RFP process. I have also on the phone Mr. Wayne Brandt from ACE, and he will join us to answer any questions that are specific to ACE during the question and answer portion at the end of this presentation. If you have any specific questions directed to JCP&L or RECO, we'll be happy to answer them if we can. Otherwise, we will take them down and we'll pose these questions as well as any responses that we'll give later on our FAQ page of the website. We'll move right into slide 2 of the presentation. First of all, I trust that everyone has received a copy of this presentation for which this call is based. If not, you can download our presentation on the website. The website address is www.njedcsolar.com. Again, it is one word, njedcsolar.com. NJ for New Jersey, EDC for the electric distribution companies, and solar for this solar REC-based financing program. In general, all documentation regarding this program can be found on the website, and you can find this presentation as well, and it is entitled the program update and dated November 5th, which is today. There are 3 solicitations that are envisioned in each year under this RFP, and we are on to round 2, and we have updated this program or this presentation to reflect the solicitation specific information for this round 2. Here, just as a very quick reminder as well as one disclaimer, the reminder being that the documentations can be found on our website, and the governing documents for this RFP are the RFP document, which is the request for proposal document that will describe to you the RFP process as well as the procedures for how to submit a proposal under this SREC-based financing program. Appended to the RFP document, you will also find a standard contract known as the SREC Purchase and Sales Agreement, and the decisions from the New Jersey Board of Public Utilities regarding this program is also posted to the website, and these are the governing documents to this RFP. And now the disclaimer. Any statements made in this presentation describing or referring to the documents or agreements are summaries only and are qualified in their entirety by our reference to such documents and agreements. Over on to slide 3. Here I provide to you a brief outline of what we would like to accomplish today. The first 3 items will go over the main features of the program and will provide you an overview and the goals of the program. We will discuss the planned megawatt target quantities of this solicitation as well as the schedule in general for the solicitations that are upcoming. We'll also go over what the eligibility requirements are in order to participate in this program. I will then turn the latter part of this presentation over to Dr. Chantal Lacasse, who will cover the rest of the items here. The next two items here will discuss the practical aspects of the program, and we will here explain to you that each solicitation is in three steps, and she will explain to you what these three steps are. We'll also go over in detail about the bid evaluation procedures and how bids will be awarded under this program. We will then talk about the results from the first solicitation that was held in August, and we'll close the presentation with a time for questions and answers. So over on to slide 4. Here we have an overview of the ASREC-based financing program. So first, and very importantly, the ASREC-based financing program is not a loan program. This program is only for the purchase of ASRECs. And how this works is that we envision that there will be three solicitations in a given year, and through these solicitations, the EDCs, ACE, JCP&L, and LECO will then contract with the owners of solar projects to buy your ASRECs through long-term agreements that will give you reasonable assurances regarding the revenue stream that could result from the project's generation of the ASRECs, and thereby enabling you to find the financing you need for your solar projects. Again, just to stress again, this program is not for the purchase of energy or capacity, but simply the purchase of ASRECs. This program is brought out of a proceeding before the New Jersey Board of Public Utilities and is consistent with the stipulation and the orders regarding this program. The stipulation as well as the orders can be found on our RFP website. And the stipulation itself discusses the elements of this ASREC-based financing program, but here we list for you three items from that stipulation, three elements here. First, as I've mentioned earlier, is that we envision that there will be three solicitations in a given year, and when I say in a given year, I really mean a reporting year that starts from June of a given year that ends and ends in May of the subsequent year. We have held one solicitation in August. We'll have one more that's coming up here in December, which this call is about, and we'll have one more in spring of next year. And in each of these solicitations, we envision that the EDCs will award contracts, or rather the board will award contracts between the EDCs and solar project owners of a term between 10 to 15 years. And as part of the requirement envisioned in the stipulation is that projects must be developed enough to have completed an initial application process with one of two state programs, either the Renewable Energy Incentive Program, REIP for short, or the ASREC Registration Program. Over on to slide 5. Here we talk about the planned target quantities for the upcoming solicitations. We have mentioned earlier that there are three solicitations envisioned in a reporting year. Here, one of the takeaways is that this program is actually a three-year program, and it's intended to procure more than 64 megawatts over a period of 3 years, with roughly 42 megawatts allocated to projects in JCP&L's Tower 3, 19 megawatts allocated to projects in ACE Tower 3, and about 3.8 megawatts to projects in RECO's Tower 3. In the first solicitation that was held in August, that solicitation did not procure all the full target quantity envisioned for that solicitation, and the shortfall in that solicitation will be procured in a third solicitation that will be held in spring of next year. In the box that you'll find in slide 5, here we list for you the planned target quantities for the two solicitations. And in this second solicitation, we're envisioning that there will be 5 megawatts that will be allocated to projects in ACE, 12 megawatts that will be allocated to projects in JCP&L, and about 2.27 megawatts to be allocated to projects in RICO. In general, in any solicitations, the planned quantity may or may not be awarded based on an assessment of the competitiveness of pricing, and bids in general may be rejected, for instance, if the price is not competitive. Over on to slide 6, there is a standard contract used under this program, and all applicants must agree to the terms of this standard contract. This standard contract is known as the SREC Purchase and Sales Agreement, or the SREC PSA. And here we highlight for you three requirements under the SREC PSA. First, you must agree under the PSA to an inspection by a verification agent from the Board of Public Utilities Office of Clean Energy, and this inspection will be paid for by the project. You must also agree under the contract to the installation of a utility meter to measure the output from the project, and this will also be paid for by the project. And finally, as a requirement, you'll be required to provide a cash deposit should your bids be accepted, recommended, and approved by the Board of Utilities. You'll be required then to provide a cash deposit within 14 days of the Board of Public Utilities approval of an award. And under the contract, that deposit will be refunded back to you unless within a year your project fails to generate any SRECs within a year from the execution of the SREC PSA. In the pricing proposal for which Dr. Lacasse will explain later on in the presentation as one of the steps in this program, you'll be asked to name two things in your pricing proposal: duration and price. The duration is basically the number of years that you would like to sell the SRECs generated by your project to the EDCs, and price is basically how much you want to be paid by the EDCs for the SRECs that are generated by your project. And duration as well as the price will be specified in the contract, in the PSA, once you execute that. The other point to note is that under the contract, you'll be paid on a quarterly basis for the SRECs that come out of your project once these SRECs have been created and accepted in the PJM Generation Attribute Tracking System, or PJM GATS. Over on to slide 7, we'll go over here with you some of the eligibility requirements. We'll start first with some of the easy items on the positive side under the column eligible projects. So first of all, it doesn't matter whether your project is a residential project or a commercial project. Both projects are acceptable and eligible under this SREC-based financing program, but your projects must be based in one of the three EDC's territory, either in ACE territory, in JCP&L, or in RICO's territory. Next, it doesn't matter whether you are a customer who owns the premise or the facility for which the solar project resides, or if you are the developer who installs and operates the solar project. Either the customer or the developer may submit a proposal under this program. Next, there is a size requirement. To be eligible, your project, your solar project, must be 500 kilowatts or less. And here we are really talking about a nameplate DC rating for the solar system. And a portion, if you're submitting a project, proposal for a project, and a portion of that project is all that you're submitting. If the project itself in aggregate exceeds 500 kilowatts, that project is not eligible under this program, even though the portion for which you're submitting a project is less than 500 kilowatts. And the last item here on the eligible projects column gets at the question of at what stage in the development must your project be in order to be eligible under this program. And the requirement here is that your project must have at least cleared the initial application process with one of the two state programs, either the REIP or the SREC registration program. But it must not have been so far along that it has really requested interconnection before a Board of Public Utilities approval of the bids. Again, we are just envisioning that through this program we will develop new projects that are developed enough to have cleared the initial application process with either the REIP or the SREC registration program, but not so far along that you have been interconnected. And as and when you're interconnected, your project must not be interconnected at transmission voltages. Over on to the next column where you talk about the projects that are not eligible, just to cover a few points that I have not already talked about. There are some items here that relates to the PSA, the SREC PSA, and for instance, if you do not agree to the terms of the SREC PSA, your project will not be eligible. And along with that, under the SREC PSA, there are certain terms and conditions there, including net metering arrangements with the EDC, as well as the installation of the SREC meter at the project's expense. If you do not agree to these, your project will also not be eligible under this program. And finally, one last point here that was not covered is that projects that have received or that will receive a rebate from the CORE program or the Customer On-Site Renewable Energy program in force between 2001 and 2008 will not be eligible under this program. Over on to slide 8. Here we have a screenshot of the RFP website for you, and in particular this is the documents page of the RFP website. And as I mentioned earlier, all documents related to this program can be found on this documents page. Just one thing to highlight for you here is that on this documents page you'll find a document called the Program Guide. And we have prepared this for this solicitation. If you do not have much time and need something to get you started on understanding the requirements of the program, I strongly recommend that you take a look at this program guide. This is a 4-page document, but it will provide you the key elements of the program. And without much further ado, I will turn this time over to Dr. Lacasse, who will discuss in detail the steps of the program.
Thank you. Good afternoon. The second portion of the presentation will go through, as Mr. Chu was saying, the process and requirements for submitting a proposal under the program. And also, in the second and last part of the presentation, we'll talk a little bit about the steps in the evaluation of the bids and also the steps leading up to a decision by the Board of Public Utilities on the awards under the program. So I'm on slide 9 now, and to get us started in terms of thinking about and explaining the process and the requirements for the submission of proposal, the first thing to note is that any response, so your proposal under this program, really comes in three parts. The first part is called the expression of interest. The second part are the bids themselves, and the bids in the RFP document that you're going to be looking at, the RFP rules and the program guide, those bids are called a pricing proposal. So I'm using those terms here just to be consistent with our documents. And finally, the third part is a qualification package. And what I'm about to do now is walk you through each of these steps to let you know the kind of information that you'll be required to submit in each step, and then the kind of information or the kind of feedback that you will get from the solicitation manager at each step. I'll also remind you as I go along of the deadlines for this particular solicitation for each of the steps. So the first step, as I said, is the expression of interest. So on slide 10, what you have is information about what you would submit in that expression of interest. It's a fairly simple document. It is also posted on the website. And what you will be asked to submit is an email address. the project application number under the state programs. So as we mentioned in the first part of the presentation, to be eligible, a project has to have completed the initial application process under the state program, either the Renewable Energy Incentive Program or the SREC Registration Program. And you will be getting that number, that project application number, on your acceptance letter under those programs. So you will be entering it into the expression of interest, as well as contact information, definitely for one representative, and we're also giving you the opportunity to give contact information for a second alternate person. The importance of that contact information is that if we needed to contact you about your pricing proposal, so when we receive your bids, if there is information missing, something inconsistent, a question that we have, that's the information that we will use to contact you. So it's important that whoever contact information you put there is someone that we would be able to contact about your pricing proposal. So it's certainly possible that developers would be submitting more than one project to this program, and one thing to note is that there should be one EOI, one expression of interest, that is submitted for each project, not for each developer in that case if there's multiple projects for a developer. The deadline is noon on December 7th, but that's really just the last possible moment to submit the EOI. You can really do so at any time, and I'll talk a little bit more about the advantage of doing that. Certainly, one advantage is that it gives us time to resolve any inconsistencies, any missing information. It also identifies for us the proponents that are submitting proposals so that we can be ready to assist you in the remainder of the submission of the proposal. So that's what you have to submit in the expression of interest. On slide 11, we're talking about what is going to be returned to you from the solicitation manager when you submit complete EOI, so when you have an expression of interest for which all the information has been provided. The first thing that we will provide to you are instructions for the submission of bids. So that will be a detailed document that will walk you through what you would do to submit your pricing proposal or your bids to us. We'll also provide you with a password and basically to be able to submit your proposal. And I'll talk about this in more detail in a second. You'll be signing on to a website, and you'll be using as your username your email address, and you will be using the password that we provide to you. We'll also provide you with a bid form that will have been customized to you and that you will be able to use to submit your bids. There is going to be one bid form for each project. So for a given EOI, expression of interest, that you submit for a project, we're going to return back to you a bid form for that particular project. Again, just in the case where there's someone submitting a proposal that's submitting several proposals for several projects, there's going to be one bid form per project, but just one set of login information for that person, so one password that would go with that one email address for that one person. So the expression of interest is submitted by email to us, and we return the information to you by email as well. As I mentioned previously, the deadline is noon on December 7th. If you submit it beforehand, we will assess whether it's complete or whether there's information missing. So perhaps, for example, you're waiting for your application number, so you're waiting for approval under those state programs, either the Renewable Energy Incentive Program or the SREC Registration Program. You could submit your EOI anyway, and that buys you a few more days in the sense that then we give you until December 10th at 5 p.m. to cure any deficiencies, so to provide any missing information. So that's the first step of submitting the proposal, the expression of interest. The second step, where it's first described on slide 12, is submitting the bids themselves, or what we're calling this pricing proposal. And as I mentioned, the process to do that is really to transfer a file to us, to transfer your bid form, and that transfer is done by logging into a website. So basically there are three steps to submitting those bids. The first one is to complete the bid form. We've already mentioned that two elements of that bid forms are going to be the price, and that's a single price that would be given to you if you had an award for all the SRECs that would be generated by the project. The second element that we've talked about already is the duration or the length of the contract. So you choose as part of your bid whether the duration is 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, or 15 years. There's going to be three other pieces of information on that bid form. The first is the application number. Again, that's the application number under the state program, Renewable Energy Incentive Program, or the SREC registration program. The size of the project, and remember that the size of the project to be eligible has to be 500 kW or below. And the last piece of information is the EDC territory where the project resides, so either ACE, JCP&L, or RICO. So that's the information that must be provided for each project on the bid form, and then you can log in to this website, and again there's going to be complete information and instructions for you with screenshots that we will provide once you have a complete expression of interest. You access this file transfer system through this website. The username is your email address that you will have provided on the expression of interest. The password is provided to you by us by email once we have your complete expression of interest. And once you log in, basically it looks a lot like an email interface, and you can upload the bid form and you can send it to the solicitation manager and we will get it. On slide 13, we're talking about how we will confirm receipt. So on our end, we will be notified that you have sent us this bid form, and we'll confirm receipt. If you're providing your pricing proposal on bid day, what I'll call bid day, which is the last possible day, the deadline of December 11th, then we'll turn it around fairly quickly, and within 30 minutes, we'll call you. And again, that confirmation and that call is going to be according to the contact information that you will have provided on the expression of interest. So we'll call you and we'll either tell you that the bid form is fine and compliant with all our requirements, or if there is information missing, we'll tell you that, give you that assessment, and you will have an opportunity to resubmit, but as long as it comes before the deadline. And the deadline is noon on December 11th. Now, we've been talking about the deadline of December 11th, but again, you can submit that pricing proposal at any time. So if you submit the expression of interest tomorrow and it's complete and we give back to you a bid form and the instructions, you could provide the pricing proposal at that time, and that allows, if there's any inconsistency or information missing, for us to get back to you and for you to have no problem to resubmit before the deadline. Now, if you do submit the pricing proposal before the deadline, then typically we will come back to you with a confirmation of receipt, again by phone, on the same business day that we received the pricing proposal. The third and last step for the proposal is providing a qualification package, and that's described on slide 14. That's done by overnight delivery at our address, which you can find on the website as well as on most of the documents that we have for this program. And you'll be submitting, as part of this qualification package, two forms that are on our website: the project proposal summary sheet and the certifications and checklist for qualifications. And what these forms do is really step you through all the requirements from the RFP documents and provide you with a way to make the certifications that you need to make and provide the details of the project that you need to provide as a requirement of the program. You will also be asked to provide the materials from your initial application process. Again, that's the initial application process under the state program that you need to have completed to be eligible for this SREC-based financing program. So the materials are from either the Renewable Energy Incentive Program or the SREC Registration Program. And finally, there's going to be a customer acknowledgement, depending on your particular situation, that could actually be part of the form, or it could be a separate document that is an appendix to the SREC PSA, and we step you through and guide you through which one it is in the document. In terms of what exactly you need to provide for the forms, we need three originals, so with original signatures to be sent to us, while for the materials from the initial application process, that includes a copy of all the application materials and a copy of the letter, we just need one copy of that material and that letter. Now, it's possible that once we assess the qualification package that there will be missing information or that we'll have questions. So on slide 15, we make the point that you will have an opportunity to complete if the qualification package is incomplete or to clarify if we have a question. And we'll be making that assessment after the bids are ranked. And that's part of the requirement of the program, that when we rank the pricing proposal, that be done on an anonymous basis. So we'll start assessing the qualification package after the bids have been ranked. The deadline for bids is noon on December 11th. The deadline for the qualification package is also noon on December 11th, and we start making the assessment of the qualification package after that time. If there is a need for clarification or need to complete with additional information, then we issue a notice to you and we let you know the materials that are incomplete or what exactly requires clarification. And there is basically a deadline for providing these additional material, and that's called the cure deficiency deadline. And that cure deficiency deadline is 4 p.m. on December 18th. So those are the three parts of the proposal that are required under the program. I'll talk now a little bit about the evaluation of the pricing proposals and also talk about the fact that the evaluation is really the start of a process by which the solicitation manager will make final recommendations to the Board of Public Utility. And ultimately, it is the Board of Public Utilities that makes the decision of which to accept or not accept the bids or to award or not make awards for projects under the program. So the ranking of bids is described in slide 16. And as I said, we rank the pricing proposals or the bids on an anonymous basis. We do the ranking first and then review the qualification materials. The ranking is done on the basis of the net present value, or NPV, of the payments under the SREC PSA for each annually delivered SREC. And I'll talk in the next couple of slides on what that NPV is and how it's calculated. There's an example that I'll go through quickly here, but that is done in more detail in the RFP document, the exact same example, if you want to delve a little bit more deeply into how these things are calculated. Now, we've already talked about the fact that it's certainly possible that not all the planned quantities, the complete planned quantity, is procured in any given solicitation, and it might be because there's not enough bids It might also be because the pricing is not competitive. Basically, projects will be selected on the basis of the lowest net present value up to the point where either we have enough or to the point where the pricing is not competitive. Finally, as part of the evaluation, there's also the application of a developer cap, and that really just applies for JCP&L and ACE, and it's 20% in each territory, and that's applied to the ranked projects. And there's a little bit more detail on the application of the developer cap on the next slide, slide 17. That requirement comes from a decision from the Board of Public Utilities, and what the Board of Public Utilities has established through its orders is that there cannot be a single entity or combination of affiliated entities under the same majority ownership that would get more than 20% of a particular EDC's long-term contract in a given year. And here again, a year is a reporting year. That requirement applies to developers. It applies to developers whether or not the developer is the entity submitting the proposal. So the developer cap applies equally well whether it's a customer making the proposal under the program or whether it's the developer making the proposal under the program. What we're expecting is to apply this developer cap to the combined awards from the first two solicitations and limit developers to 20% of that combined amount. As I said, the solicitation for the application of the developer cap for this solicitation is just for JCP&L and RICO, and JCP&L and ACE. RICO is exempt from this developer cap, but RICO does have an additional requirement, which is a 50% affiliate cap. On the next slide, slide 18, is the example for the ranking of the bids and the NPV net present value. And again, that example is also found in the RFP rules with a little more detail if what we say in this brief overview today is not sufficient. So basically what you see in the table, in the top table that's in bigger font that says example JCP&L, is a price for various projects, different terms for those projects, and a factor. And basically the factors that will be used are in the RFP document and the RFP rules, and the calculation of the NPV, the net present value for a project, is very simple. It's basically the price that is provided in your bid sheet, the price per SREC, times the factor. And the price of the SREC times the factor gives you the NPV. Now, the longer is the term of the project, the higher is that factor. So that means that for a 15-year project to have the same NPV as a 10-year project, the 15-year project would have to have a lower price. So all the projects will be assigned this NPV depending on which EDC territory the project resides, because there are different factors for each of the EDCs, depending on the price per SREC, and depending on the term of the project, which determines which factor is used. Then the projects are ranked on the basis of this NPV, and the lowest NPV projects up to the point where we feel the quantity or where the pricing is not competitive are the ones that can be considered for an award. I said that the evaluation is really the start of a process, and that process that follows the evaluation up to the decision by the board on the project is described in slide 19. Once the evaluation is done, the solicitation manager presents its recommendation, which at that point are preliminary recommendation, to the parties, and that means the EDCs also rate counsel as well as the staff from the Board of Public Utilities. The solicitation manager presents a recommendation for the purpose of getting input from those parties, and the solicitation manager considers that input. Now, I'm going to talk about various events here, and there's roughly 10 days between those events. So really, the evaluation is really the start of a process. And because this year the bids are due on December 11th, there's also holidays in there that will stretch the schedule a little bit compared to what it was in the August solicitation. So the solicitation manager considers the input from the parties and then prepares their final recommendation, which are submitted in a report to the Board of Public Utilities that will include the recommended awards and also the quantity to be put in the next solicitation. It will also include any special treatment for small project segments. So there's a small project segment which is 50 kW and below, and there has been an aspirational goal set by the Board of Public Utilities that 25% of the awards for ACE and JCP&L and 50% for RICO be in that small project segment. Now, it's important to note that those are just recommendations of the solicitation manager. It's really the Board of Public Utilities that makes the final determination that decides on the final awards under the program. Once that decision has been made, the solicitation manager notifies the bidders either to tell them that they have received an award or to give them the reason for their project not receiving an award, and there's an announcement of results. Those results are really aggregate results, and I'll show you in a second by providing the results from the first solicitation, and they're not meant to include any individual pricing. The results of the first solicitation are on slide 20. They were provided in a board order and also announced by the solicitation manager shortly after the decision from the Board of Public Utilities. There were 8 bids that were received in the first solicitation for roughly 1.6 megawatts, and 7 awards were made. One of the bids was rejected because the pricing was not competitive. The average price for all accepted projects was roughly $410 per SREC, and the low price was $369. On the last slide, before we proceed to questions, on slide 21, there's a reminder about the key dates for the upcoming solicitation. The first 3 dates that you see here, the deadline for the expression of interest on December 7th, and then the deadline for pricing proposal or bids, and the deadline for qualification materials, both on December 11th, those are fixed. The rest of the schedule is really tentative. It's just trying to give you an idea of once we start the process of evaluation and providing recommendation and getting input from the parties, how that schedule could go given the number of days we anticipate between each event, and given also, as I said, that we have the holidays in between there. So we have tentatively preliminary recommendations shortly before the holidays on December 21st, and input by the parties in early January with an expected board decision of January 22nd. Again, that's tentative. It's going to depend on schedule of various parties, but just to give you an idea of how it would develop. And then after the announcement of the result, there is a lag until the execution of the SREC PSA for the awards as decided by the Board of Public Utilities. And that lag is simply to make sure that the board decision is truly final and no longer subject to appeal. So that completes our presentation today and our overview of, in particular, the requirements under the program and the process for the submission of bids and the evaluation. And we'll now go to a question period. And I'll turn it over to Gina.